Let us pledge to each other, with this great lady looking on, that we can, and so help us God, we will make America great again.
And we will make America great again!
How do you feel about America? I'm talking about in the total context. You are the next generation of the adults. You're about to inherit this nation.
How do I feel about
America? Okay. How do you feel about America?
That's a hard question.
Why is it hard?
I don't think it's hard. It's just, I feel like it's a basic question with complex answers, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because, don't get me wrong, America's great. It really is. But we just have some problems that we need to kink out, you know?
Okay. Well, as you being the next generation of adults inheriting all this, where do you see those key points being? What are we needing to fix? I mean, seriously, what do you think we're needing to fix? And now I'm not talking about naming names of people. Those are all temporary things. See, those are temporary solutions. When you talk about how, well, we just need to get new people in, you know, we need to get rid of Trump or whatever, okay? That's a temporary fix anyway, because the most you're going to have is 6 more years. The least you could have is 2 more years. And you still have America left, and you're still having to deal with things. So putting labels on particular individuals doesn't do any good because it's short term. What are the types of things that you see that are right or wrong with America, and where do you see we need to fix stuff?
Our justice system.
Okay, our justice system. What is it about our justice system that's the problem, that you see as the problem?
Well, everybody talks about it saying, oh, it's here to protect us. Well, the police are here to protect us, or the justice system is here for like us to like, I don't really know how to explain it, but I don't really see the justice system as that. Some people might feel like, oh, it's here to protect us, but how can the justice system protect people who it wasn't really made for in the first place, you know?
So
whenever it comes to African Americans and this, we already know that's kind of a problem whenever it comes to police brutality or how do I say it, whenever we get in jail or something like that.
So like how the court system itself works?
Yes. So,
okay.
I feel like whenever, let's say marijuana in this case, whenever some people sell marijuana, then they have years, like 15 or more years, that they're in jail for just selling a plant, you know?
Right.
But you look on Vogue and different magazines, and you see white people being praised for starting their own company with that.
Okay, I see, yeah, and that's a very valid point. If it's this, if you're doing the same thing, why is there a different standard the way that you're treated for doing that same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's both in good and bad situations, right? You think about it. The praise and promotion of stuff is just as equally unbalanced as the destruction, condemnation, and incarceration of people is imbalanced. Is it the justice system itself, like the laws themselves that do that, or is it the individuals in the system that do that? They've broken the same law. So it's not the system itself that's the problem, it's the individuals in the system that's the problem.
I have a comment on that. I feel like a lot of that is about the news too. So, I mean, police brutality, for instance.
Yeah.
It's like there is, on this sample, it showed that 175 times a black person from age 18 to 25 were killed by police. And 172 times a white person was killed by police. So they have the same amount, but every time you see a police to kill a black person, they consider it a hate crime. But you don't see the people who kill the white people. But it's the same amount.
They both could be seen as hate crimes.
Yeah.
Or they both could be seen as neither one, right? Depending on the situation. There's bias in both of them. Yeah, I see that.
But like on the
which is interesting. I'm actually surprised that statistic is as equal as it is, or as close to equal as it is. I mean, I'm shocked that, that's the figure that's coming up, because it seems like what we tend to see is that it's far greater that it happens with one group over another. Okay, another valid point in this, though, is we have a tendency to throw things in as a black and a white kind of a thing, even though there's an awful lot of ethnicities in the United States. Right? Like I said, I was surprised those statistics were as close as they were, but then you always wonder, who's pushing the numbers where?
That's true.
You know, and I hate that, but we kind of grown to where we have to distrust all the figures that we hear and see. Because everybody has an opinion about it, so everybody wants to push the figures in a certain direction to benefit their argument. Right? But one of the things that Jody was saying is that what happens when the news doesn't cover it equally? What happens when it makes better news? And I hate to say it that way, but let's just be honest with it. Journalism a century ago talked about how if it bleeds, it leads. Meaning, news is primarily about disaster. It's not about positives, it's about negatives. Where can we create the biggest negative possible news? Because that's what people want to watch.
So I feel
just like traffic slows down when there's an accident because you want to see disaster.
I feel like a lot of young people get like the wrong idea by news or social media. It's just like one incident happens and then like the news doesn't share everything. Mm-hmm. So it turns out to be this whole argument about, oh, this person did, but you don't know the whole story. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you're going to believe some of the facts, whatever they show.
The biases that are there.
But you have to really look at your facts before you can make a quick decision or opinion.
Unless you're physically there, you can't really take in what you're being told by the news.
But thing is, whenever we're talking about what he said, whenever he like brought numbers into this, mm-hmm. Whenever you look at the videos of African American men being shot or females being shot, you don't see an armed person. They're not armed. They're usually running away from the problem and they just get shot.
But
that's the same point. You're right. The video we see is that, but that's just it. That's the video we see because that's the video that presents the narrative.
I'm saying, when do you ever see a white person, a white school shooter being shot? And they actually are armed, putting people in harm.
No, you're right, but that's the same thing. Is it that it's not happening, or is it that it's not being broadcast to us?
I said not being broadcast. Is the numbers are the same?
See that's but where my frustration is that you're right. They paint the picture to make the black man the enemy. They don't paint the same picture equally against others, not just white, but others in general. The shooting at the club in California 2 days ago, they would not release the fact that guy had converted to Islam.
I didn't even hear about that.
See, they won't release that information. Why? Because it creates this whole other mess of arguments. It was a conservative group of students that get shot by a guy who had converted to a group that was against that group of people. But if that had been a black man that had walked in and shot up that group, his face would have been plastered over everything.
And then it would have turned into this big...
And it would have been a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw it.
So that frustrates me.
I feel like...
And I'm a white guy, and it frustrates me.
I think I saw it like on Instagram or something like that. They didn't make a big deal out of it.
They don't. They pick and choose what they want to create this image of. So I guess one of my arguments is, what is your generation going to do to help fix that? I'm trying to do what I can at my point, but I'm an older guy at this point. My influence is different now. Y'all are the influence age. Is there something to be done? Now, here would be one of my arguments. Do you think the future, as far as news is concerned, is major news networks? Or do you think maybe it's individuals doing on-the-scene kind of stuff? Do you think that would make a difference? If more people could actually film and broadcast what really happens at events, do you think that would change the unedited, raw footage? Do you think that would change anything?
Yeah.
I'm seeing a no. Why no? Now, I'm not necessarily saying it will change crime. Now, I'm not saying it will change crime. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, do you think it would change the way the world is told about crime? Now, I'll ask you this. One of the pushes that they're trying to do now is trying to remove the political party completely off of the ballots. So all you have is the name of the candidates.
Why are they doing that?
Why would you think they would do that?
I think people see, like, if you're Republican, people say Democrat, like, oh, he's a Democrat, I need to stay away. And even though he may be good for him.
Or the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's a Republican. I'm not going to go for him.
But I mean,
works both ways, right?
Campaigns and stuff have...
More and more of the campaign signs don't put the affiliation they're with. This particular election, I noticed a lot of, at least on the local level, a lot of the signs just told you they were running for an office. They told you they were running for state senate or house or whatever. But they didn't tell you what party they were part of. So you got to know who that individual is at this point. And it doesn't work for you to look at them and judge what party they're in. Because you can't. Can you really tell what party somebody's in based off what they look like?
I mean, what if you just take out that altogether?
Take what out? Like party?
No, like, yeah, like the label. That way.
I know. Which would require you to research what each individual person actually thinks about certain issues. Right? That's a thought. That's a legitimate thought. Okay? Let's use the argument right now that Oprah Winfrey just threw out a couple of weeks ago. She's now gone independent. She was Democrat all of her life. Now she's independent. Which tells me she's not happy with the direction the Democratic Party is going. She wants to be independent. So does that mean that we're seeing shifts? Do we have a Republican Party, a Independent Party, and a Democrat / Socialist Party? Because I think that's what Oprah's trying to get away from, is the socialism part of it. But how many people know what socialism is anyway? Do you know what socialism is?
No.
See? I could put, I'm the Garden Party, and unless you know what that means, it doesn't mean anything. Socialism honestly means the government owns everything. You produce, the government takes it from you, and then they give you back a portion of it based off of what they believe you should have. That's at the grassroots of it, that's socialism. In order to have all this free stuff, the reason it's free is because you no longer own it. You don't have to pay for it. We give it back to you. But you still produce it. Yeah.
There's like a question for you.
Okay.
Do you care, like, what party somebody's in as long as they have good intentions?
I care on the issues that they are supporting or not supporting. That's what I care about. I don't look at first and go, oh, well, they're a Democrat or they're a Republican, and so this is what I believe about them. I want to know what they believe about particular issues.
Yeah, so that you don't care if they're so or so. It's just as, like, a person.
Yeah. Do they look like, based off of what they're telling me or what their history has been, okay, do they seem to share my values?
Like, I'm just saying, they should probably just take off the labels altogether, because I think that just causes way more issues.
And I think it has a lot to do with it, but we put labels on everything. Yeah. We hyphenate everything.
Because it's like, I'm pretty sure if there were no labels, a lot of things would be different.
Yeah.
Like.
Well.
Because, like, I agree. You know how in the houses or whatever it is, all the little Senate, Congress, all that mess, how they're, like, scared, like, oh, the Democrats or, like, the Republicans, are they taking over, blah, blah.
I know.
The people.
I know. Well, and one of the hardest things in this election for me was sitting back and listening to people go, we've got to get rid of this mess, and so you've got to vote all Republican. Or hearing people say the same thing with Democrats. You've got to vote all Democrats because we've got to get rid of all of this mess. The mess is being created by people on both sides. The mess isn't a party that creates it. The mess is individuals and groups of people that have made decisions that don't seem to be working very well. And so saying straight anything is overlooking the individual needs to me. So you're right. I mean, it is that same thing. If we didn't have a label,
unless we
looked at the issues.
Oh, that doesn't make sense. Unless we found a way to make it equal, like equal Democrat, equal Republican. That way.
But what that would be doing is stacking the deck. We've gone down that road before. In fact, we're down that road now. We're at the point now where I think it's in California, they said that they're requiring that you have to have a female on your board of directors in your company. Just because you're required to have both genders on there. Okay? That would be like, and this is on the reverse of it, that would be like, well, okay, it's like the dressing rooms. The dressing room issue. Guys are claiming they should have the equal opportunity to go into the women's dressing rooms. You don't hear any arguments for the reverse of that. You don't hear any arguments for women saying they have the right to be in the men's
dressing rooms. It's the same dressing room. Why?
It is, except that you're undressing around people of the other gender.
I mean,
there's
and that is putting yourself at, like...
It puts yourself at more risk, closer risk.
Yeah. Next thing you know, because in my head I was like, there's doors, but I mean...
But that's just it. This idea that you have to let everybody in on everything. Okay.
Yes, sir. What's stopping a perv or rapist and like, oh, I'm a girl. So I
nothing. People get convicted all the time. People are being arrested and convicted for taking videos, for physically touching other people, for touching each other's children in dressing rooms.
I mean,
all kinds of crazy stuff because of these things. Not that you couldn't have that happen in an all-woman's dressing room or an all-man's dressing room.
I mean, but like, at some, there is that though, like where the dressing rooms are all together pretty much. Like, in...
Like a family thing, but like...
Yeah. Well, are you talking about that they should be like in the same area or they should be in the same...
In the same area? No. They're talking about how there's just a unisex dressing room. And you go into the, and you're not just standing there in a big open room and everybody's getting undressed kind
like
of thing. It's not
that.
You still have your bays, okay, your room. But it's, instead of having a women's dressing area and a men's dressing area, it's just a unisex dressing area.
I mean, they have that now.
Where right next to you, you're right, but where is it? When they have those, typically in like clothing stores, they're actually out in the middle of the store. The dressing booths are like an extension out of the wall in the middle of the store versus a back room somewhere.
I mean, that's what they're like in some places.
Do they do the back room unisex?
Yeah, like...
See, that to me is scary.
Like, in Uptown, there's a bunch of, like, in some of the stores, they're in the back.
See, that to me is wrong.
Or that you go through a thing and turn.
Yeah.
How is that different than... You going with your supervisor down into an area that is completely away from everything and there's no security.
I'm saying, Mr. Danny, that's creepy, huh?
It is creepy. And see, they're not allowed to put cameras in the dressing rooms. They're not supposed to put cameras in the dressing rooms for your own individual privacy.
Yeah.
But then,
see, so they can't keep you secure in there.
Like, that way, like, you know how they can't keep cameras in the bathroom, obviously.
They're not supposed to.
You know, all that. They can't keep them in dressing rooms.
They've tried all kinds of things. They've tried cameras that don't focus in on where the bodies are supposed to be. Like, they've had cameras in restrooms that don't point toward the urinals. But then I'm thinking, okay, so all the crime happens at the urinals.
What's the point of the camera then?
Right? I mean, how does that fix anything, right? It's not doing anything. Okay, so you hear what goes on, you just don't get to see it, right?
Yeah.
It's not saving it. And in, who's sitting there with their candy bar watching you the whole time to make sure that you're safe? No, I don't think so. Some sicko sitting there going, oh, yeah, I'm a dressing room monitor.
I don't think so. There's not cameras, but there's usually always somebody like there that have to...
Old society had somebody that stayed in the restroom, same sex, okay, but they would stay in the restroom. They would attend to the restroom. They would keep it clean.
Well, like
they would make sure towels were ready
like
or whatever, and they were the one that could observe anything and keep bad things from happening.
Like now, it's not really in the bathroom anymore, but it's in the dressing room. Like, there's
there has to be a worker to come unlock it and
yes.
all that.
Right.
And they usually keep going back and forth.
As long as you've got that, see, I think you're secure. If you at least feel secure. But again, the argument is, should you have restrooms that work the same way? Should you have, if you've got a dressing room that's got a guy in this one and a girl in this one, is that any different than having a stall that's got a toilet for that a woman is at this one or a man is at this one? Or under or whatever. People do all kinds of creepy stuff. People are going to find ways to create issues. Take all the actual weapons away from people and people will find ways to use things in the bathroom to create weapons. I mean, come on. We all can do it. I mean, your thumb can be a weapon. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to carry anything with you. People are going to find ways to create crime. But it's that whole issue of equality. You're talking about parties. If we could just have equal balance in the parties, well, the only way to do that is to require a balance. And to require balance means you're literally sticking people in the deck.
I mean,
and creating it. You can't do that.
That's
not, that's any more fair than the other.
It's just like, I guess people won't complain as much. I mean, they're going to complain either way, but like, they won't be as scared, I guess.
I do like the idea if you could take the labels completely off of them.
Because then...
You have to run, but you don't run under a party.
Yeah, like,
Yeah, I kind of get that, because...
You think that would work?
What I kind of see a lot is that I feel like America's pretty much divided, and it's not just with colors or races, sexuality, but also whenever it comes to parties, we're pretty much divided. Because honestly, whenever I see someone to be like, oh yeah, I'm Republican, then I'm kind of like,
You have a total image of a whole list of things, right, that you think
about. But I mean, just because they're Republican doesn't mean they believe everything that the Republican Party stands for, which I kind of understand that, because my family is mostly Democratic, but we don't believe everything the Democratic Party stands for,
exactly.
Just most things in it.
Just this week, this guy, 69-year-old guy,
He said he wanted to identify as a 45-year-old.
Yes.
I just heard that on the
Okay.
He said he wants to legally change his age.
So it's like 45 or 49 or something like that, right?
He wants like more girls on like
on
Tinder.
Yes.
He said it'll more likely for him to like get somebody if he's 45.
And then he said something about the job. Why don't you still worry about a job?
Yeah, pension. You've got more years of pension than he can put in.
And then
all kinds of stuff.
People had called up there. And they were asking somebody really say yes. I think that's right.
So what do y'all? How do y'all feel about this?
He had a good point though. Because he said you can change your name. You can change what's the other thing?
Your sex.
Yeah, you can change your sex and all that, but you can't change.
And that's a whole other argument. Okay. Whether you really can or not. Okay.
Can you explain this?
This guy thinks that. Okay, he's making the argument that on paper. On paper, he would be 45, 49, whatever it is.
No matter what
Even though he's lived 69 years, on paper, he would be legally seen as a 45 or 49-year-old or whatever it is.
But then, like, people would obviously know that he's 69 because of his birthday. He's going to change his whole birthday.
No, no, all of that would change.
Change.
See, in order to do that, all of that would have to change.
That's
crazy.
Not to have a new birthday.
Yeah.
That's
all right, people think that's
stupid.
Okay, but think about a 12-year-old girl who identifies as 18 and a 20-year-old.
Okay.
So that's just
he just caught on to the real basis of this. This is where my deep-seated, sick, frustrated, pessimistic brain comes in, okay? And I'm just being honest, okay? I'm not concerned about the 69-year-old who wants to be able to hook up with 45-year-old women on Tinder. That's not my concern. I'm concerned about the 35-year-old guy who wants to identify as a 16-year-old
or
as a 12-year-old so that he can go out and date or have activities with children.
What's it called? Or say it could be for like other purposes, like a 17-year-old could say, I'm
21, so I can drink.
Girl, that's a good idea.
I'm 12, but I identify as 16,
so I can
drink.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're
so smart.
Oh, and you want to get even sicker about this. It throws out other issues like...
bananas.
No. Age of consent.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies, you get attacked. It's considered illegal if somebody...
who's older?
18 or older attacks you, or at least 2 years older than you attacks you. But what if they... identify as somebody your age.
Oh my God.
It's now no longer seen as as the same crime. It's not the same crime level anymore.
What if like you were like say you were under the age of consent, like you were 15, something like that. But let's say you like look a little bit older, you know, and then you said you were like over 18 and you hook up with somebody over 18 and they do certain activities with you. Would it be like
it would no longer be illegal then.
I'm saying, but like, how would, and then the other person finds out that you're actually a younger age?
Mm-hmm.
What,
like somebody finding out that you used to be a man, but you've had a sex change operation? Because we already had that discussion, didn't we? About how, should you have to tell somebody that you used to be the other gender?
But you know how I felt about that.
But is it not the same thing?
Well, age is way different than like...
I didn't need to know that I just hooked up with somebody that was underage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like totally, it's different though. To me, it's different. Like the age thing, I think it's way different than what you used to be. I could care less, but if you're actually 15 or something, and I... You, then I don't want to know that you're... not my age.
But then some people don't care.
Some people don't, you're right.
And that's
but does it need to be a law? That's the thing.
No.
See, there's where your issues. Just because, if you want to behave like a 45-year-old, you know what, Mr. 69-year-old, knock yourself out.
But what if they were like...
if you feel you're healthy enough to hang out with the 45-year-olds and you want to socialize with them, do what you want to. But just don't lie. Maybe they need to change the rules on Tinder and things like that, where they say, age I feel like.
Age,
you know,
right?
On the weather, it said, feels like 38.
My emotional age. 10, yeah, that's most of those guys. I think it just kind of stops at like 10 or 12.
No, but I mean, at the same time, this month, there was a white guy who won a poetry competition, and I think he won like $50,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it was a competition for for black people.
Yeah.
And he said that he identified as interracial or something like that. So he's not black, but he felt black.
Just like the athletes that compete in all women's or all men's sports and they're actually the other gender physically. And there's unequal competition going on.
Oh, what's her name?
So
Matt Beggs or something like
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he is a wrestler that, like, just last year, he was wrestling us in one state, like, the past 2-3 years. But, I mean, now...
okay, now here's one of the arguments that's happening now. Because of this election, one of the craziest things that is happening right now is that people were all excited on the news because we now have the youngest politician elected.
What?
That doesn't mean they're qualified for anything. They're just young. And that's that Alexandria Cortez. She's now the youngest politician elected. I don't know, but she's got to be at least 25 to even be in Congress. So maybe she's 25, but that's supposed to matter? I'm not looking for the youngest person I can get in politics. I'm looking for the smartest person I can get in politics. Now, if she happens to be the smartest, that's fine. But I don't think there's proof for that. This is the same woman that thinks that she's inaugurated into her position and thinks that because she's in, that she passes laws. She doesn't pass laws. Anyway, it's crazy. Well, we're having a discussion about how do you feel about America?
I want to join the discussion.
All right. How do you feel about America?
Oh, America, America, America. What the frick are we doing?
Well, by what?
Happening.
By what? Like what?
Oh, no. I feel like we waste a lot of our resources. And I feel like we have a lot of dumb people in power. or we just have, no, not dumb people. We just have greedy people. I feel like we are a very greedy country.
What would you change with that then?
I don't know if we can change it. I feel like we're in too deep.
Well, y'all are the generation that's coming up on this. That's what we're just talking about. Y'all are about to inherit all this.
Like, what I've learned about my generation, like, yeah, there's a lot of people that, like, want to change stuff, but, like, the rest of them, they don't feel like their voice matters and stuff like that.
There was a report, at least a couple of years ago, I don't know if it's still accurate anymore, there was a report that was saying that the generation coming up was the least motivated toward feeling, if motivated in a sense, least motivated to feel that they could change anything. So why bother? They don't want to get married. They're not necessarily wanting to have children. Which kind of makes it kind of seem like, well, you can't have too many generations like that. Then you don't have any generations anymore at all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But do you feel that way because you feel like you can't change what's going on?
What are we supposed to do?
Like, we're so deep into so
exactly.
Much.
Exactly.
We are.
We're so deep into,
well, okay.
Like, how do you get out of it?
Then let me ask this. Is there any area of it that you feel like we could put a pause button on and try to work on?
Let's have a purge and kill everybody in charge.
What are you talking about?
I'm just joking.
Wow. There's your sound bite, right?
Like, I'm still surprised that Trump is alive. Like, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Because I thought that was going to be the first assassination I was ever going to witness.
There have been attempts. There have been attempts, but but he's very well protected.
No one needs to be protected all the time.
Well, you're right, but there are threats that are made to him on a regular basis. Right now, Eric Holder on his Facebook page has a picture of him standing over JFK's grave. And some are seeing that as a kind of a message toward Trump. There's another, who was it? There was somebody else. Oh, it was James Comey recently that was standing underneath Lincoln's face at Mount Rushmore, saying it was the same kind of threat, that, you know, these are the two people that have been assassinated, right, that Trump would be next. And they were assassinated for similar reasons. They wanted to change the system. And they weren't necessarily popular for the way that they broadcast their interest in changing things. Trump gets really into the right-in-your-face kind of stuff, and it doesn't appeal to everybody, and I get that. But he's really not doing anything different than Reagan tried to do, and he was shot, but survived. Mm-hmm. Or that Kennedy wanted to do. He didn't survive. Kennedy wanted to get rid of the CIA, so does Trump. He wanted to downsize the size of the government and get rid of some of the problems that were going on that he saw happening in the 60s in America, and they got rid of him. Same thing that Trump really would like to do. Because the CIA is extremely corrupt.
Oh, yeah.
It has been from its very beginning. It was intended to be a secret government entity, not necessarily for international, but for us. Central intelligence. Not foreign intelligence. Central intelligence. If you look up Alan Dulles,
looking up right now?
No, you could, but it'll take more time than that. Alan Dulles was the guy who was basically behind most of the development of the CIA for a number of years. Okay, he goes back into, you know, pre-World War II even days. Okay, but he was very activist. There's an airport in Washington, D.C. called Dulles Airport, named after him. Okay, but you look him up, and you're not going to find probably very much that people have to say about him that's positive. And he pretty much built the CIA. And he hated Kennedy. And Kennedy held on to him for a few months and then fired him. And within 6 months of that, Kennedy was dead. And we now know, with documents that have come out in the last 2 or 3 years, that CIA was connected to the assassination of Kennedy. It's documented. CIA is nasty. CIA is part of what Edward Snowden was trying to reveal to everybody.
So,
and so forth. You what?
He died whenever Kennedy died.
Yeah, soon. No, Kennedy died in 63.
Oh.
But yeah, no, he, you know, what's ironic is that he died after both of the Kennedys that wanted to see the CIA dismantled were dead.
He died in January.
John and then brother Robert Kennedy. Both died during Dulles' time post CIA. I've got a book I've been reading about Alan Dulles. And it goes, and what's wild is that it's like 25 hours worth of audiobook. So it's intense. I'm like 8 hours into this thing, and we haven't gotten out of World War II yet. Alan Dulles is one of the prime reasons why Nazis survived World War II. He actually intentionally smuggled Nazis out of Germany, kept them from being prosecuted, and brought them here to help build his CIA. If there's a Nazi, politically for us, it was Alan Dulles. Yeah, it worked. Our military, our nuclear program, our financial program, our surveillance program, all were built off of Nazi systems. Thanks to Alan Dulles. Thanks to CIA. Like I said, Kennedy wanted to end it. They snuffed him. Robert wanted to end it. They snuffed him before he even made it to the White House. Trump wants to get rid of it too. And the threats have been there. But that's one of the reasons why so many paint such a negative image of him. Most of the people who are promoting a negative Trump agenda, you'll find them in all kinds of photo ops with him before he started running for office. They loved him before he was running for office.
Why does he keep changing political parties all throughout his life?
He doesn't. Well, Reagan did too. Reagan went from a Democrat to a Republican. Reagan was a Democrat during Kennedy's days, but it was the Kennedy event, as well as watching what Lyndon Johnson did with the Democrat Party, that caused Reagan to leave the Democrat Party and go to Republicans. Because he saw the party shifting. He saw it changing from what Kennedy envisioned. And he tried to rebuild the Republican Party under those same tenets that Kennedy was trying to build. And they attempted to assassinate him. But Trump did the same thing. He went from seeing what he saw as the Democratic strengths to they're not doing it. They're turning into something else. And so he didn't have another option. He could have run independent and he would never have won the election. So he had to choose a major party. And so he chose the other party. And there are Republicans that are so opposed to him because they're the old school Republicans. They're the Republicans that were Dulles Republicans. Just like there were Dulles Democrats. See? The parties aren't opposite of each other. They overlap. I mean, you know that, right? You understand that? These things, they're constantly wavering back and forth. I mean, John McCain was making more agreements with the Democrats when he was a Republican in office before he died.
He's dead?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think he died of cancer, but he's dead. That's the number one way people die in politics. Have you not noticed? Number one death in politics is cancer. Number two is heart attack. Look up Watergate and the people associated with Watergate that died. And over about a 3-year period, they almost all, I mean a whole string of people died from cancer. It just suddenly appeared. Oh, they have cancer now. Ruth Bader Ginsburg fractured 3 ribs this week, fell in her office. Okay? She's resigning in January. She's 85 years old, first of all. She's pretty old. Okay? But she has cancer that has come back. Now, she had cancer back in 1980, so it's not surprising that it's come back. Okay? It's very possible for it to come back. But still, it's just funny. John McCain suddenly comes up with cancer.
It shouldn't be funny
myself. No, it is funny in a sense because, see, I don't believe that he died of cancer. Now, I'm not saying he didn't have cancer. I just don't think that's what caused it. I mean, within less than 24 hours of him saying that he's going to stop treatment, telling he's dead, that didn't add up. You don't just decide to stop and then that's it. The body shuts down. That didn't make any sense. So there's all kinds of issues there. But yeah, the number one cause of death in Washington, D.C. is cancer for politicians.
What if there's something in the air?
Well, there's definitely something in the water, isn't there? There's definitely something in the water. It's corrupt. But it's not the elected officials that we need to be concerned about. It's those people that don't get elected. See, that's what makes CIA so scary. You don't elect CIA. You don't elect them. We don't vote for these people. They stay in office as long as they want to, and they do whatever they want to do, regardless of who's in the White House. It doesn't matter. Those are the scary people. Okay? You can put up with anybody for 4 years. We've done that over the... We put up with Ford. Guy couldn't walk from here to there without tripping. Oh, it was terrible. He was a buffoon. An absolute buffoon. H.W. Bush. He was too. He was just stupid. Okay? You can put up with anybody for a handful of years. They're not going to affect your entire life. But it's the people that never leave D.C. It's the FBI people. It's the CIA people. It's the three-letter people. They don't get elected by us. They get hired. And they stay in these positions forever, and they don't care who's in office.
I got a question.
Yeah.
How do they get hired?
They get hired by different people up there in D.C. that we do vote for.
So do they, like, just put in an application?
Yeah, they really do. You can apply for the FBI. You really can. I mean, I have a guy I went to high school with who did all the training and everything and did apply for the FBI. He went through the whole program, spent years going through the program, building himself up for the program.
You have to go through the program?
You have to go through it. Well, you're supposed to go through a program.
Yeah, there's a TV show called, what's it called?
Are you talking about, yeah. I mean, it's...
Isn't it
Quantico?
Quantico. Quantico, yeah.
Yeah. It looks like Quantico, yeah. Yeah, but it's just this ridiculous system. It's not the elected people you have to be concerned about. It's like the House. Okay, the Democrats have won the majority of the House. That's great, except that 2 years from now, we have to vote for all 435 people that are there again. So we start the process all over again 2 years from now. In the Senate, the people who won their Senate positions have them for 6 years. That makes them more powerful. The Senate actually becomes more powerful because of that. But yeah, every 2 years we re-elect all the House members.
So it's 2020 is the next one.
2020 is the next one. Yeah. And so who knows where it's going to go. But for the next 2 years, the people in the House will do what they can do. Right? Because they know they only have those 2 years. All right. That's our time. Thank you.
For America to have confidence in our future, we must have pride in our history. As Americans, we have inherited a special legacy of freedom, culture, laws, traditions, and values. You understand that human progress must be built upon a firm foundation of timeless truths. These truths are immortalized in our founding documents. And the most important truth our founders understood was this: freedom is not a gift from government. Freedom is a gift from God. We are reminded that no destructive force on earth is stronger than the courage, character, and love of the American people. We can unleash the creative power of our citizens, unlock new frontiers in science and medicine, and usher in prosperity for communities all across our land. But to achieve these great things, we must hold fast to the values that define who we are as a people and as a nation. Everyone here tonight is united by these same enduring beliefs. We believe that the Constitution is the greatest political document in human history, and that judges should interpret the Constitution as written. We believe we should preserve our history, not tear it down. We believe that America is a nation of opportunity because we are a nation of laws, and we support the incredible men and women of law enforcement. We believe that our great American flag should be treated with reverence and respect, and that young Americans should be taught to love our country, honor our anthem, and proudly recite the Pledge of Allegiance. We believe that strong nations must have strong borders, and that our most important job is to serve the needs of America and the American people. I will always put the needs of our country first. Because, as Ronald Reagan said, we believe in peace through strength, made in the USA.